Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our pep talk this morning. My name is David Feeks. I'm the owner and founder of the Parents Estate Planning Law Firm in Acton. Our occasional pep talks are a casual way for you to learn about estate planning and certain estate planning topics. We deliver it to you in a way that is a little quicker, easier, and more easily digestible. Today's topic is estate planning for the sandwich generation and or empty nesters, a generation and a time in life that I'm becoming more and more familiar with. My wife and I are now in our 50s. We've got adult children who are leaving the home, and we are beginning to experience empty nesting and all the changes that come along with the changes in our kids' lives and the changes in our own parents' lives. Which create changes in our lives. So this morning we're talking about how estate planning changes as you enter this kind of transitional phase of your life when your kids are becoming adults and your parents are getting older, and talking about how your planning needs change and why you need to keep your plan updated as you move through this transitional phase, because so many things are changing. Those changes most often really need to be reflected in your plan. And what I've discovered in my practice in working with tons and lots of families is that plans that were put in place when your kids were still young just won't work the way you need and want them to now that your kids are becoming older and becoming adults and things are changing. Where those changes occur typically, there's changes in families. You know, your kids are getting older. Once they were, you know, young and they needed guardians, and now they're adults and they don't anymore. Your parents who were once young or younger themselves are getting older and may start to need your help financially or otherwise. Your experience changing in assets. Your asset picture when your kids were young probably looked very, very different from your asset picture looks now, and how your asset picture will look in another 20 years. And there are always changes in the law. Things change in the law, and often those legal changes affect plans that have been put in place 10, 15, 20 years ago. And as you enter this transitional phase, there is always this subtle shift from protecting your kids as the primary focus of estate planning into leaving a legacy, or, you know, creating a legacy around what you have worked so hard to create. So I will get to, if you have an estate plan in place, kind of where those changes are. I always want to start off by reminding people who are watching who do not yet have an estate plan in place, because even though you're in this empty nester phase or becoming part of this sandwich generation, I still meet lots of people in their 50s and 60s who have never created an estate plan. That if you don't have an estate plan in place, this is a great time to get an estate plan in place. And in many ways, much easier time to get an estate plan in place because things are clear for you now in a way they weren't always when your kids were young. Estate for you, if you don't have an estate plan in place, and if you do, this will continue to be true for you. For most people, the primary focus of estate planning is obviously to make things as easy as possible for your family, for the people who are going to have to take care of things. For most people, it's planning to avoid a probate court process so that their kids don't have to struggle with how to deal with assets in a court process. For empty nesters and sandwich generation folks, it's about minimizing estate taxes. Here in Massachusetts, we have an estate tax, a state level estate tax that kicks in pretty early at just $1 million. And is, you know, as you age and as your assets accumulate, lots of people have with houses and 401ks and investment accounts and even some life insurance still going on, they're over that $1 million threshold. So estate taxes become a really important focus. So as I said, one of the big changes that people encounter is changes in their family. So if you've got an estate plan in place, you probably put that in place when your kids were still young. when they were under the age of 18, when guardianship was a huge issue for you, when making sure there was someone to manage that money for them, because they weren't old enough to manage it themselves, was still a huge issue for you. But now, as your kids are growing older, probably the guardianship part is either disappearing or has disappeared. So that's not an important part of your plan. And there's no longer this critical need for someone else to be managing the money for your kids. When your kids were still young, it was also hard, because I see this a lot in my practice with clients, it's hard to know what's the right age to let your kids take over the inheritance themselves, either receiving it outright or just taking over the management of the money. You know, when your kids are 3, 5, and 7, most parents will say to me, you know, I don't know what the right age is because I don't know enough about my kids yet to know what the right age is. But now that your kids are becoming adults and maybe they're in their 20s, you're getting a better sense of whether or not they are financially mature enough at this point to be able to manage money. It's something that I'm discovering as my kids become adults, and my oldest daughter is now in her 20s. And now I know much more about how to craft a really good estate plan that will take care of my daughters, still protect them where they need protection, but allow them to have a little more control than obviously I would have years ago. And I know much more about that, and you most likely do too. As you're in this transitional phase and your own parents are getting older, you may be discovering that you need to account for them in your estate plan. You know, when your parents were younger and you were focused on taking care of your kids, probably your estate plan was said basically, all of our assets, all of our resources are going to be preserved for the benefit of making sure our kids get through college and get launched into their adult lives. But now that they are past that place and they are starting to launch themselves in their adult lives and becoming self-sufficient, maybe your focus is shifting more towards helping to take care of your parents, even financially. And so you may be wanting to make changes in your estate plan to account for that as well. So those are all of the kinds of family changes that we see that may necessitate, that may call for changes in your estate plan. As always, estate planning is not a do once, stick it on a shelf, say we got that done, now we never have to think about that again, because as we're seeing, these changes in your life, in your lives require changes in the plan itself. The other big thing we see is changes in assets. When your kids are young and you're starting out with estate planning, your assets may be very much more limited. You've got a house, but maybe there's not a ton of equity in it. You're just starting on investment accounts. You're starting on your retirement savings. And, you know, for a lot of my younger clients with younger kids, the big part of their asset picture, at least from a planning perspective, is all around what to do with substantial life insurance proceeds. That's really where the assets that they are passing on are coming from. They haven't yet built up the personal asset portfolio. But when you get into this transitional phase, life insurance starts to become less important. Term policies are starting to expire. But now you've been living in your home for 20 years and you do have substantial equity built up and you have built up a brokerage account and more substantial liquid assets. You've got a retirement account that is now worth much more than it was when you were still young. And so those changes in assets sometimes require a rethinking of the estate plan itself. One of the other things I see very, very often, you know, certainly in a trust-based plan where assets have to be owned and should be owned in the name of a trust, is that as time goes on, you are shifting your asset picture, and the assets that existed and got funded into your trust 20 years ago may not be the same assets that you own right now. You may have started new jobs. You have new 401ks. You've opened up new IRA accounts. Maybe you've opened up a brokerage account where you didn't have one before, and it requires a look back to make sure that your existing assets are owned properly in the name of your trust now that they've shifted a little bit over time. So those are some of the things that are happening. When you're looking at your kids as adults, things that weren't important about planning for them when they were little become more important in planning for them now. You know, when your kids are young, there's things you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about their creditor problems. You don't have to worry about them getting sued, and you don't have to worry about them getting divorced. But when they become adults and they are creating their own financial worlds and they are going off and getting married, these are issues that are going to start to bubble up for them that may start to have an impact in your own plan. So you can plan for not your kids' creditor issues, but you can plan to protect the money that you leave to your kids so that their creditors can't get at the money you leave to your kids. So that if they get sued as adults, the money that you leave to them can still be protected from those lawsuits. And if they get married and then they get divorced, the money that you leave to them can be protected so that it doesn't get considered as a marital asset subject to division in a future divorce. So those are things you don't have to think about when your kids are young with respect to your estate planning, but are things that you start to think about more deeply as your kids become adults. And certainly, as I said before, when you are in this transitional phase and your own parents are getting older, and again, my wife and I are going through this right now, helping my own parents downsize from a home they've been in for in my stepfather's case, I think almost more than 40 years, there's lots of issues that you're starting to work on with your own parents. And for a lot of people, creating something in their estate plan for the benefit of their parents is something that they have to focus on when they get, you know, sandwiched between their own kids and their parents. In thinking beyond just assets and thinking about things like who makes medical decisions for you, who makes legal and financial decisions for you, the planning, as always, remains pretty much the same. If you've got young kids or older kids, you want to have a healthcare proxy, you want to have a HIPAA waiver or a HIPAA authorization, you want to have a living will so that people can make medical decisions for you if you can't make them for yourself, and they can have access to all of the resources and medical information they would need to make informed and intelligent decisions for you. And for legal and financial decision making, you want to make sure you have a durable power of attorney in place so that, again, someone else can step in and take care of things for you. So the concepts don't change from when your kids are little to when your kids are older. What changes is the ability of your kids to step into those roles and make those decisions for you. And it doesn't always happen for most parents when their kids turn 18. Most parents that I talk to are not tremendously comfortable with the idea of their 18-year-old making medical decisions for them. It's something that I've decided my kids are not yet old enough to do that. But it's important to at least understand that once your kids turn 18, they can, in fact, serve in various roles in your plan, including medical and financial decision making. So things that you can be thinking about as you're making plans. I should have mentioned at the outset that there is a group chat for this meeting, and if you want to type in some questions as we're going along, we'll get to those. I noticed one has come in, and it's relevant to what we're talking about right now. My girls are both in college. I want them to be able to have access to our money for education, but they're maybe not ready to manage it all yet. What do we do? You know, sometimes even when your kids are adults, they're not ready to manage the money directly. So just like when they are younger, when they are still under the age of 18, it is appropriate as part of your plan to have someone else manage all of that for them until they get to be the appropriate age, whether they're taking an outright distribution or whether they're taking over the management of the money. And that age is always different for everybody. But the important thing to know is that, let's say you have a trust in place and your assets are owned in the name of the trust, and your kids are ready for college, they're going to college, as my youngest is getting ready to start college, and my oldest has just graduated from college. You know, but in my plan, my wife and I still have a trustee who takes over for us. We are the trustees now, but we have a successor trustee to take over if something happens to us, who would be able to manage all of the assets in our trust. As part of that, that successor trustee is able to pay for college expenses. And that successor trustee can use the resources in our trust to pay for college, could have paid for college for my older daughter and can still pay for college for my younger daughter. So even though your kids are not old enough to manage it directly themselves, say you want to wait till they're 25 or 30 or 35, pretty typical ages, But if something happens to you, you can still appoint someone who can manage that money and use those resources for whatever it is they need. College expenses, paying for an apartment even after they get out of college, buying a car for them if they need a car but they're not immediately employed after college, supporting them after college if they don't have a job immediately. So you can always have somebody who can take care of that. And a trust is a great way to do that because it is a living document. It exists while you're living and it continues to exist even after you die, with a whole set of instructions about how to use the resources that you've accumulated for the benefit of your kids and who's going to manage all of that as we get through all of that. So great question. And that was, we just took a time out there. That seemed like a perfect time to talk about that. The other thing I think that becomes really, really important for clients as they get into this transitional phase is empty nesters or being in this sandwich generation. As I said before, there is a subtle shift from protection to legacy. And the idea of creating a legacy becomes much more important. How to not just leave money to our kids, but how to leave it in a way that it can be preserved over time, because now not so much of it needs to be used to take care of our kids, but it can be used to help them become better people, to do things that are important to you and that may be important to them. It becomes a time where maybe you want to carve out a distribution to a preferred charity or an organization that's really important to you, because now your kids don't need every dollar that you've ever saved because they're becoming self-supporting. And maybe you can start to create carve outs for organizations, entities, even other people that are really, really important to you. And this is also a period of time where starting to preserve, if you haven't already, thoughts, feelings, memories, guidance, things that you've learned now over the course of your lifetime. You know much more in your 50s and 60s than you certainly did in your 30s and 40s. You have a life experience now that you can share with other people, your kids, other members in your family, that other people want you to share with them. And so one of the really cool things I think that we do in our practice that's part of every planning level for clients in our office is our legacy interview. It is a recorded interview that we do with our clients at the end of the process when a new plan is in place, when documents are signed. Either I or the other attorneys in our office will sit down with clients and actually interview them. We record it digitally, burn it onto a CD. We make the audio recording available to our clients. And then our clients have an audio recording that they can leave behind for their kids, for their family members, about all of those things that are most important for them. And it's a really cool thing to do when your kids are still young. And my wife, Paula, and I did ours 10 years ago when our kids were still preteens. And now that my youngest is college age and the oldest is post-college age, we're getting ready to update it so that we can share the different insights that we have now that they are adults, and even things that, you know, knowledge and insights and wisdom that we have accumulated, excuse me, over the last 10 years that now we can, you know, we pass on to them directly, but we can get it in a recording so that if anything ever happens to us, it's preserved for them and it's preserved for our future grandchildren who obviously don't yet exist and who we've never met. But if something happens to us, I would like to have left behind something for my grandchildren so that they could know more about me than just seeing pictures or seeing old videos or the crazy pictures that my kids post about me on Facebook. I love them. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I'm checking in on the chat window just to see if anything else has come in. So let me squint here. There was one other question. You mentioned reviewing your plan as life changes. If your kids are adults now, how often do you think you need to look at making those changes? So how often is often enough for reviewing your plan for potential changes? My recommendation is at least every 3 years and sooner if things are going on in your life that would necessitate a change sooner. What we do with our clients, again, as part of our process in our office, is we invite all of our clients to come in and sit with us at least every 3 years. So on a rolling basis, we are reaching out to our clients directly saying, hey, it's been 3 years since we've been together. Now would be a great time for you to call the office and schedule a review meeting. We don't charge for your review meetings. We only charge for changes that we are making to plans, but we never charge for meetings because I don't ever want there to be a financial barrier between a client and getting a question asked and answered or an issue resolved. So every 3 years we reach out to our clients, we sit down, we check in. It's kind of like a medical checkup every year or a checkup with your financial advisor on a regular basis, same concept. Just every 3 years we're sitting down, checking in, seeing what's happening, checking in with the family, see if there's any changes, see if those changes require a change in the plan itself. And sometimes the answer is, hey, nothing has really changed. Everything's great. Everybody who's playing a role in our plan is still good. Our assets haven't changed significantly, in which case I say, hey, it was great to see you. We'll see you again in another 3 years. But very often there are some things that are happening that require changes in the plan. And that way clients know and they have the comfort of knowing that their plan is current. It's up to date. It is designed to work the way they want it to. And if anything ever happens to them and their family is pulling that plan down off a shelf, it's going to work the way they intended it to, and it won't have become outdated or stale simply because time has gone by. So great question, about every 3 years. One more question has come in, the interview. Do we have to come up with our own things to talk about? How does that work? The answer is you can, but you don't have to. We have in our office for our legacy interview series, there's about 20 different topics that you can do it on. And we have questions within each of those topics. So we've already pre-thought this for you because we know it's not so easy to come up with the questions on your own. And at least we've got a framework to guide you through the interview process. So the one that I do most often for parents with young kids and even parents with older kids is just called My Kids or Our Kids or Our Children. It's about 10 or 11 questions. And we go through it. You get to see it in advance if you're a client, obviously. So you could be thinking about the things that you want to talk about and be making some notes, not so much a script, but at least notes so that you don't miss the important things. And you don't have to come up with that on your own. So that's what we're here for, is to think about those things in advance. But certainly if you had more specific things you wanted to talk about, you certainly can. There is a lot of... Yeah, we had a cry. I think I'm going to cry about a legacy interview. There are tears in a legacy interview. Not as much as you might imagine, not as much as most people think are going to happen when they first walk in the door around a legacy interview. I can promise you that I have done this enough now that I've created a framework that makes it more light, shall we say, than you might imagine such a conversation to be. And here's the thing about a legacy interview. This is probably one of the most empowering conversations that you will ever have. How you feel walking out the door after doing this is just so different than how you feel walking in. I get to watch the transformation happen during the conversation and as clients are leaving the office. And for me, this is one of the most rewarding things I do as a professional. As I said, my wife and I did ours 10 years ago. It was, and until we do it again, which I think we're going to do very shortly, it was the coolest 45 minutes I've ever spent talking about my daughters with a colleague of ours who helped us to record it. It's a really cool thing, and I'm so proud and pleased that we're able to offer this to our clients because it is different. There's not a lot of people who are out there helping clients to preserve this most important part of the planning process. All right, we've come to the end of our most recent pep talk. Thank you again for joining us. Again, this is our casual way of talking about estate planning and helping you to learn about estate planning. If there's any questions you would like us to address in a future conversation, you can reach out to us directly in the office. You can shoot an email to support@parentsestateplanning.com. We'd love to hear about any topics you'd like us to talk about in the future. If as a result of this conversation, you realize you need to create a plan or update your plan, reach out to us. We'd love to help you take care of that, get that off your plate so you can sleep much better at night. We can help you create the perfect plan for whatever stage of life you are in as a parent. You can reach out to us directly in the office by phone at 978-263-6900, 978-263-6900. You can reach out by email again at support@parentsestateplanning.com. And you can always get more information about us, our firm, and estate planning in general at our website, which is www.parentsestateplanning.com. Thank you, everybody. Again, David Feeks here from the Parents Estate Planning Law Firm in Acton. Thank you again for joining us. I look forward to joining you again soon on our next Pep Talk. Have a great day. Take care.